All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Visual Novel Corner. Switching it up a little bit. Yes, it's Fatal 12. This week, you'll be getting all Fatal 12. It'll be about 30-minute pieces, and probably about four of them, so that's 2 hours. So let's go ahead and get started. My eyes jolt open after a night of sleep. I remember exactly what I saw in my dream. Immediately after my death, I was taken to the Court of Fate and met with Parka. She explained all the rules that I had heard during the first election. No wonder she was so unimpressed when I asked again. I'm fairly sure she told me my cause of death and regret as well, but I can't remember any of that. I remember something far more important, though. The final destination of our individual fates. That was the first time I'd heard of it. Becoming the final participant alone isn't enough. I will need to get to this place afterwards. It's a place I know quite well. It's the same park where I talked things out with Naomi. It's a huge park located in Shinjuku. A plaza from which you can see a Clock Tower S building in the distance is there. It's one of my favorite spots. That's where all 12 of us are meant to gather, the final destination of our individual fates. I can't believe it. It's hard not to be surprised. That park is pretty close to my home. 12 weeks after Divine Selection begins, or 7 weeks from now, the weather will likely be nice, so I can't say that I wouldn't have gone for a walk there. Besides, it's also a popular tourist spot. Sonya mentioned that she had planned on coming to Japan with her family in the first place. It wouldn't be surprising if she would have gone there with them. As for the others, I'm not sure why they'd go there. But the fact remains that it's a popular spot. There's plenty of reasons to check it out. It also explains the deja vu I felt there when talking to Naomi. Park had shown me that scenery once before. I'm not sure how to describe the sensation I experienced when she did so. I guess it'd be similar to the feeling you get when you're dreaming. Now it all makes sense. I can finally answer a number of questions that I've been asking myself. It explains why most participants are Japanese, as well as why those who aren't have gathered in Japan. Parka never did explain why that place is our final destination. Much like how she never discussed how or why Divine Selection exists, she probably deemed it to be unnecessary information. Either way, I've managed to regain an important memory regarding the whole process. By the time I finish processing this revelation, I notice that a certain feline isn't beside me anymore. Guess it slinked off at some point while I was asleep. That cat sure knows how to pull off a disappearance. Oh no. I let slip an awful cat pun without even thinking about it. At least there's no one at the door. I might have gone ahead and elected myself for elimination if someone caught me saying that. Just as I start to get ready for school, I check the time and my heart nearly jumps out of my throat. I must have been in a pretty deep sleep. I woke up half an hour later than usual. Here we go again, loitering around Shigetsugu? It's really hard. Ushizuka Shigetsugu's house. Or Shigetsugu, whatever. Seemed like he's the kind of guy who enjoys his morning walks. He might be happy that he doesn't need to worry about his back pain, but come on, how does anyone enjoy walking the same path over and over again? Whatever, the only thing we care about is that there's no one home this time of day. We're trying to think up a way to sneak in while he's out. And when I asked Odette what we do inside, she gave me a quick answer. Look for keepsakes or mementos. Not that any more needs to be said, it's pretty obvious what we'll do. The only piece of info we're missing is his regret. Chances are he's been living here forever based on the crappy condition of this house. That means he'll have stuff that's been sitting around for ages. The kind of stuff that'll point us towards his regret, most likely. So basically, we gotta find keepsakes or mementos that link to the life he's led. Alright, so how are we getting in? Smashing a window in would do the trick. Trust her to make it even more obvious that she's about to commit a crime. Ugh, try that again. Trust her to make it more obvious that she's about to commit a crime. Jeez, ain't no way we can get away with doing that in a place like this. It's not the middle of the night either. Still way too early in the morning. We at least avoided the morning rush, but that doesn't mean the streets are empty. I let out an exasperated sigh loud enough for Odette to hear before offering my own suggestion. Let me handle this one. Thanks to my time in the Mafia, I know how to pick a lock or two. Huh? Guess you've got some use after all. I don't know about modern locks, but I should be able to bust this basic one open in about 3 minutes. Keep an eye out for me, though. Maybe no one cares about him, but I think everyone would report a fellow like me trying to pick the lock on someone's door. Fine, go ahead and enjoy your moment. Just as she shoots a smirk at me, someone makes their way out of the house. Bingo, he's off for another morning walk. After making sure he's far enough away, we slip over to the door. Let's do this. Keep an eye on the street for me. Alright, before you start though, you were paying attention to what he did when he left, right? Yeah. So, did he lock the door? I get what she's talking about. He never did turn around to lock the door after leaving. When I think about it, he didn't lock it yesterday either. I guess that's why Odette never mentioned anything about the lock in the first place. I bite my tongue to stop myself from cursing at her before twisting the doorknob. So much for getting my time to shine. I open the door, remove my shoes, and carry them in one hand as I make my way in. The interior looks the way I expected. Dilapidated wooden furniture, newspapers and magazines littered all over, etc. But holy hell, is it small. I don't know if it's normal for Japanese houses or not, but you can barely fit anything in there. In fact, me and Odette can't stand shoulder to shoulder without getting pressed against the walls. Great. Time for some good old-fashioned rummaging. Her expression is glowing as she opens and closes her hands in a grabbing motion. We probably don't need to worry about being loud while he's out, but I'm not too comfortable with Odette speaking at her typical volume. Who's there? That little question takes us by complete surprise. It's the kid's voice. The hell? I don't recognize the voice either. That geezer's supposed to be living by himself, so there shouldn't be anyone else here. I know I didn't imagine it, though. Someone definitely called out to us. What a pain. There are two of you, I take it. The voice is more clear this time, but I can't tell if it's a boy or a girl. Definitely a kid, though. I recognize those voices from somewhere. Oh yeah, in the dream world. Well, that helps to explain things. Ain't no doubt about it now. The runt's a participant. Based on the voice, it's gotta be numeral 4. Didn't think I'd run into the blank kid here. Numerals 3 and 11. I never expected you two would be working together. And I never expected the old geezer to team up with numeral 4. We express our mutual disbelief simultaneously. With that out of the way, the kid approaches us. Looks to be just over 5 feet tall. Ain't Japanese based on the facial features, that's for sure. Looks real young though. I guess they're in the middle of puberty, so 13 or 14? Their voice hasn't broken either, which makes it a doozy to discern gender. Based on their overall figure though, I'd guess female. Mind explaining things? Why'd you call them the blank kid? Their name? If so, how'd you learn it? Oh, I never told you. This kid's name card was part of my initial batch.
内容はブランク。白紙で何も書かれちゃいなかった。直接会えば分かるとも思っていたが、残念。
But for whatever reason, the card's blank. I figured it'd appear once I met them in person, but that hasn't really been the case. The kid's expression shifts upon hearing Odette's claim. Their guard has just gone up. So if it's blank, does it mean this kid don't got no name? Who knows? Care to find out? Do you really think I'd tell you? The kid tries to provoke Odette with a glare, so she scoffs back. Even if I wanted to, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I don't know my own name. I realize that I'm a participant in Divine Selection, but I don't remember a single thing from before that. How I died, what my life was like, not even my own name. Amnesia or something? Sheesh, that little goddess sure doesn't understand a thing about fairness. You can't just scrape someone up after dying and throw them back into the world without any memories. Wow, you can actually sympathize with someone? It ain't sympathy, dumbass, it's pity. With that, she moves her sights back onto the kid. Are you working with the old crone then? Working? No, we don't plan on getting involved, so we're just living out our normal lives. Wanna run that by me again? So you're fine with getting killed off? Of course not. But if we let you people eliminate each other, then we'll eventually be the only two left. What do you do then? I want to let him live. He helped me when I was lost and took me into his home, even though I'm a participant. I don't have any memories, so I don't even know what my regret is. My life is fun with him, though. That's why I want it to last as long as possible. Both of us are staring the kid down, but they don't flinch in the slightest. I don't get what they were saying here. Normally I'd call bullshit on a story like that, but the kid's different. Their expression makes it clear they ain't lying. Oh, they're calling him they because... Really? Normally I'd call bullshit on a story like that, but the kid's different. Their expression makes it clear they ain't lying. See what pronouns do to these... Shit. I guarantee that's not how it is in Japanese. Well, you probably guess that we're here to find anything that'll point us towards the geezer's regret. His regret, not his cause of death? Too bad, kid. That one's in the bag already. I'll have to make sure you leave empty-handed then. I'm sorry, but you can't set foot inside this house. They lower the tone of their voice, making their threat obvious to us both. This sudden shift takes me by surprise, but I mean, we're dealing with a kid. In other words, There's something here that'll give us a clue. Either that, or you already know it yourself. Huh? How did you... G- Got yourself to blame for that one, kid. Should've kept your mouth shut. Oh right, this is the first time I've met any participants other than Shigetsugu. Or Shigetsugu? I don't know. You two must be desperate. That's why you're reading into everything I say. Screw this. We've come this far, so let's just force our way in. I glance over at Odette to get her agreement. She smiles and nods in response. Ain't every day that we agree on something. Let's shut this kid up and find what we're looking for before that old bag of bones gets back. Wouldn't be hard to shut him up when he gets back too, but we still got a few days before the next election. Last thing we need is for them to call the police. I'm thinking the same thing. Things would get real annoying real fast if someone were to cause a ruckus here. Our passports and stuff might be good fakes, but it'd be tricky to sneak around with the police on our asses. We ain't the most decent people in the world either. They'll find plenty to hold us on if they're given a reason to check our histories. I don't see any cameras, so all we gotta do is make sure you don't spill the beans. Don't get any funny ideas, kid. We'll let you go if you beat it now. Damn. You sure know how to act all tough against people weaker than you. Shut up. Both of us move towards the kid, but they still won't budge. Hell, they provoke us even more. I'm gonna protect Shigetsugu from you. Heh, the brat's got guts. You handle things here. I'll keep an eye out at the entrance. Got it. The quickest way to shut someone up is to crush their throat. It won't kill them, but it'll keep them from singing for a few solid days. I step forward through the narrow hallway, my hands aimed at the kid's throat. They manage to move quickly enough to dodge under me. Speedy little brat. It's pretty common for smaller targets, but in the end, a kid's just a kid. I've got the longer reach, not to mention the physical advantage. They turn their back to me and make their way further into the house. Gonna run after all that talk, huh? All they've done is move into another room. Noise travels pretty easily in a cramped house like this, so as long as it ain't one of them ninja houses, it shouldn't be too hard to find them. I'm not running. They pop back out from the room they ran into. I kick at them with my left leg. It creates enough distance so that they won't be able to reach me. That won't work. They dodge under me again, but it's not a big deal. As I bring my leg down, I smack the kid with the back of my heel. It connects with their shoulder, causing them to falter for a moment. I was aiming for their head, but they ducked out of the way in time. With my foot planted back on the ground, I move in for the kill again. The hell are you doing? Move! Before I can react, the kid has slid right beneath me. They use the impact from my heel, hitting them to close the gap between us. Don't tell me the brat actually let themselves take the hit. It's too late for me to do anything, though. I have no idea if I managed to let out a scream or not. I tried to block it, but there was no way. The kid clenched their fists and let loose with a flying uppercut straight into my crotch. Before the pain kicks in, I lose all feeling in my body for just a moment. And then the sharpest of pains rushes through me almost like the organs above my groin are being strangled. My hands cover my crotch on reflex as I crumple to my knees. They don't stop there, though. Pain starts to rush through my shoulder next. This isn't pain from a blunt strike, though. It's from a sharp object. Yeah, I missed. They're holding a knife in their right hand, which they had used to stab my shoulder. Holy shit, that hurt! Fortunately, it hit the seam of my jacket, so I got away with a minor cut. They must have run into that room to grab the knife, so I assume it was the kitchen. That's odd. I'm sure I was on target for the carotid. The carotid. It's artery. I do my best to collect myself, but the pain from my crotch isn't making it easy to move. They retract the knife and take aim for a second stab. Somehow I manage to throw myself out of the way just in the nick of time, although doing so leads me to face-planting into the floor. I turn to face them and see no hesitation on their face whatsoever. At least the pain's starting to fade. I raise my knees in order to kick myself back onto my feet and dodge the knife. Turns out that this isn't their plan of attack. Instead, I can tell another shot at my crotch is coming. Yikes! Not wanting to experience that again, my body unconsciously ducks in order to dodge it. I won't miss this time. The next moment, a mammoth shadow passes over top of me. Odette has launched her massive leg right into the kid. They block with both arms crossed in front of their face, but the impact still sends them flying across the hall. You're kidding me, you lost to a little kid? I didn't lose. Nobody in the world would believe that. If I'm being honest, I'm terrified by how focused they were on decimating my loins. Whoa. The kid flings the knife across the hall towards us. Odette dodges it with ease, which leads it to clattering harmlessly on the floor. But the knife wasn't twirling around or anything in midair. It flew straight as an arrow. Who the hell are you, kid? I'm not sure. I just know that I can do this kind of stuff. Your body remembers what your brain doesn't, I'd say. Odette plucks the knife from the floor and chucks it back at the kid with even greater speed and precision. They knock it aside with a frying pan they've grabbed from nearby before scuttling off into a room across the hall from where they got the knife. It was a tiny window of opportunity, but they took full advantage of it. Off to get another weapon, huh? Hey, get your ass off the floor! I jump to my feet the millisecond she shouts at me. What are they gonna bring out next? I made the mistake of trying to kill you when participants can only die via elimination. They reappear muttering something at us. But how will you handle this? They brandish something in both hands, which they then heave towards us. Guess I'm in their target again. Ain't gonna hit me like that! Looks like they decided to chuck screwdrivers this time. Four of them, each around 4 inches long, are heading my way. Not like they'll hurt unless they catch you right in the eyes or mouth. Not great weapons, unlike the knife. All four scatter across the floor as I dodge them with a backstep. Odette charges in as soon as I step back to evade the flying tools. He ain't the only one you gotta deal with, kid. She prepares to use a spin kick. The kid must have seen it coming, though. They grab Odette's leg with her left hand and propel themselves upwards in what looks like a handstand. The ceiling is low down enough that their feet reach it after that maneuver. Falling that, they utilize the ceiling to propel themselves towards me yet again, with an even bigger knife in hand, mind you. Why is the kid gunning for me? I ain't dumb enough to let someone leap straight into me. Their skill might have taken me by surprise, but I can dodge this no problem. I slide my right foot back to do so. Christ, how can you be this stupid? Her insult isn't directed towards the kid, but to me. My foot doesn't slide across the floor when I pull it back. Instead, I trip over something. What the? It's not like I tripped over thin air, either. My foot is caught on something hard. It's one of those screwdrivers the kid had thrown at me a moment ago. Now you're mine. The kid uses the opening to thrust the knife into my side. This time it digs deep into me. They retract their knife immediately and put some distance between us, their eyes watching Odette all the while. Blood starts to gush out of me, dousing my jacket. Fortunately, my ribs took the brunt of the blow, so my insides aren't damaged. I probably have cracked a few ribs, though. That probably would have killed me had the kid been a bit stronger. Useless son of a... Let's jet! I'm already starting to lose consciousness when she says that. From what I managed to hear, the kid has no intention of chasing us down. And then I dream. A dream so foreign to reality that I almost think it's another world entirely. I dream a dream about the one thing I've ever truly cared about the regret that only I could know about. There's an even more simple reason behind how I can tell it's just a dream, because there's no hope of me ever achieving it. This is a reality will never come to fruition, a desire that I've convinced myself to give up on. The fact that I'm dreaming of it now proves I've still got regrets about it, though. Just as I start to wonder why my ass hurts, I notice that I'm sitting by a road. Odette's standing beside me, a plastic bag in hand. I assumed she dragged me all this way from that house. Must have stopped by a convenience store on the way to buy provisions, too. My side is still killing me, but it's all bandaged up and treated. Did you... First aid's a key skill in the sea. Can't let a wound like that fester, otherwise you'd be a goner. Sorry. You're a damn weakling, you know that? I can't find any words to rebuke her with. I just click my tongue and shake my head. I look down on the kid because of their age, but it wasn't just that. They completely outplayed me. That aside, chances are the kid went through some kind of training that they forgot about thanks to their amnesia. That's why, hey, what's wrong? Wouldn't you have been better off just leaving me behind? She likes you, you... She likes you, you dumbass. Gross, I'm gonna puke if you keep talking like that. Besides, I told you we'd work together and you've still got some value. I ain't the type to break a promise, usually. Again, she likes you, dumbass. By the way, I should figure... Anybody wanna know... Like, some people do know what I look like, but... Frederico? Very close. Very close, that's me. Like, same build. And you'd be like, Grim, you look like that? Like, but you have no idea how much food I can put away. And, like, my bosses, nobody can believe I look like that. Gets put away all this fucking food. Eat like a whole damn pizza. Not gain a fucking pound. Like, that's just how I am. And even the way his head kind of hangs, it's like that. That's the same way. Yup. It's weird how much that guy looks like me. It's fucking crazy. But yeah, if anybody wants to know, Grim, what do you actually look like? No, I'm not like some alpha Chad looking muscle bound guy. I'm definitely built like dude on the right. That's me. But guess what? It didn't stop me from dating, because you would always find crazy women like Odette here that would find interest in you. So, it is what it is. I know her type. Usually, huh? Doesn't inspire much confidence. And yeah, I know he's got like that feminine look. Believe it or not, a lot of people thought I was gay when I was in high school or school because of just the way I looked. I'm not, but a lot of people might think, you know, if you're kind of a gaunt, tall, maybe feminine looking guy, but I'm not. Again, I mean, I've got a beard and mustache now, lightly. I'm not that feminine. I don't have the earrings. I don't have earrings in my ears. But my hair was actually kind of similar to his at one time. I grew my hair out, so it was brown. The eye color is blue, green, so that's about the same color as me. It's almost just like you're looking at me, so that's the guy behind the mic. Except I'm a little older than him now, so imagine a lot more shit being gray, and you kind of get where I'm at. But that's me. And so I don't get these incels. I don't know. I think it has to do a lot with the change in women. Because I know a lot of women that be like, oh yeah, you're a decent dude, you're cool, and you talk about things. Like, you don't really give a shit that you looked a certain way. Just like, hey, this chick is kind of cool, and I'm into the stuff that she's in. Or maybe she's into the stuff I'm into. Like, you see somebody wearing a band shirt or something, and, you know, I always was into rock and metal, so that's kind of what I would look for. The crazy girl's into that. So, yeah, these things just kind of happen, you know. I don't know about now. I mean, I want to say the guys aren't applying themselves, but, you know, the women, they want all this shit they didn't want back in the day. Like, a guy like me, like, that looked like that, it was kind of a popular thing because of the whole goth thing. There's a lot of women that wanted, like, a tall, pale goth guy. And now it's like, nobody wants an incel-looking guy. It's like, everything's changed so much. Not that I was popular with the ladies, but absolutely there were women I talked to and hung out with and dated. I mean, it wasn't that hard. But yeah, Federico, that's the closest you're going to get to what Grimm looks like. If you want to know what I look like, there you go, right there. Shut up and have a drink. Not the first time I've heard that from a woman either. See, that's another thing about these two that works. He complained a lot, and I did that. And of course the woman would always be like... Like, I always said I needed a good woman to shut me up. Because I can rant a lot, and that's why there's a woman that's like, shh. You know, she has to, like, put her fingers on my... Women used to do this. They would put their fingers up to your lips and say, shut up. It's not that important. And honestly, that's a good use for a woman because sometimes guys go off about shit that really isn't that big of a fucking deal. You realize that years later or even weeks later. Like, you know what? I really shouldn't have gone off like that. It wasn't that big of a deal. And it took the woman to tell you. I tried to tell you. So, yeah, I do think that women do complicate. They complicate men, but they compliment men. I've always thought that. There's no reason we should be fighting, and I think the media is the biggest threat right now, honestly. Because the media is saying, women, men suck. And because the media is saying, women, men suck, women are going to continue to act, you know, like they are. And it's not only that. It's also the media is telling women, you need to get a man that's like this. And that's like me if I wanted Pam Anderson. I'd never be fucking happy because very few women looked like Pam Anderson back in the 90s. It just didn't fucking happen. You'd find a girl that was cool. There you go. But... back to the game. She hands me a miniature bottle of wine. I'm not a big wine drinker, but I did like my Boone's Farm back in the day. Normal folks wouldn't give an injured person alcohol, but hey, she's anything but normal. As further proof, she's already downing a drink herself. Chilean wine, huh? Oh well. I'd be pissed if they sold the good Italian stuff in some crappy store around here. You'll be fine if you... You'll be fine if you've got enough energy to run your mouth. Even so, you should probably take it easy for the next week or so. Just me, huh? No point in arguing with her when I know she won't listen. Instead, I pour the wine down my throat like it's water. It ain't top-shelf stuff, but Chili's wine is pretty decent for the price. The taste of red wine helps me to settle down. Why are they drinking wine on the fucking street? You won't find many people out on the street drinking wine straight from the bottle back in Italy, but I gotta admit I ain't against it. After enjoying our wine and a sandwich, we trudge back to our hotel. That kid's gonna be real fun to deal with. I'll make sure to crush him next time. I mean, these two are living in a hotel and not once she hadn't got fucking urges. I mean, she is a woman. I can tell that she isn't gonna go out looking for revenge on my part. That'd be pretty unnerving by itself, but I know her and she's doing it for her own sake. It's been over a month since Divine Selection started, so I've managed to pick up enough clues to figure out what she's thinking every now and then. It's pretty ridiculous, but she's just looking forward to pummeling that kid.